Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Craig Bowes, and I'll be serving as your liturgist this morning. If you're visiting with us today, we're so thankful that you've chosen to worship with us. If you would please take a moment during worship, take the registration pads that are on the inside of the pews, fill in your information so that we can have a record of your attendance today, and then please join us in the WAC afterwards for refreshments. Now, before we begin with the service, I do have a few announcements I'd like to make. First, this Wednesday, March 15th at 5:45, we'll be having a Lenten dinner and short devotional in the Wilson Activity Center. Supper is chicken fried chicken, mashed potatoes and green beans for adults, and chicken strips and mac and cheese for the kids. This food is being delivered by Corky's. It's $8 for adults and $5 for the children. We hope you will be there, and please take a moment and fill out this white insert in your bulletin so that we know you'll be joining us for dinner. Also, Miss Laura is collecting candy for the Easter festival. If you'd like to donate, please bring this to the church office. And she's also asked me to mention that if you can imagine if it's 85 degrees during that time, bringing chocolate is probably not the best idea. So keep that in mind on any of the donate that you bring to the church office. Next, if you're interested in handbells, please get in touch with Diana. She would love to have you be a part of that that group that they have. And finally, Senior Game Day is this Thursday at 10:30 in the warehouse. At this time, let us all pass the peace of Christ with one another. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Who shall help us through the wilderness? Who guides us through the toils of life? Let us follow the Lord faithfully. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, the church's one foundation, on page 545.
Thank you.
please remain standing and join me in the affirmation of faith, which is found in your bulletin or on page 888 in your hymnal. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Skylar, and I'm here from Hendricks College, so I know I'm not Miss Laura, but I'm here to give you guys a little bit of a lesson about what we're going to learn today in church. So I want to start off with maybe hearing some of the things that you guys were glad about this week, something that made you happy. So everyone, think back about all the things that happened this week, and what was something that made you happy? You can raise your hand when you have something in mind. Nothing made you happy this week? Okay, yeah. What made you happy? When other people were happy. Yeah, that makes me happy too. Got something?
Yeah. When I was playing with my friends.
When you were playing with your friends. That's really awesome. Anyone else? Yeah. What do you got? Oh, AG, your friend. Yeah, your friends make me happy too. Delivering Girl Scout cookies. I think that makes lots of people happy. Anyone else? Okay. So let's all pray. Let's fold our hands and bow our heads. Thank you, God, for all of the things that we've noticed this past week. Thank you for our friends and for the times that we've made other people happy and for the times that we have given people Girl Scout cookies or the present of just being a friend to somebody else. Amen. Okay, so today in church we're learning about Nicodemus. Has anyone heard about Nicodemus? No? Kind of a weird name, huh? Long name. You want to say it with me? Nicodemus.
Your turn.
Nicodemus. Yeah. So Nicodemus wanted to be a good man. And he wanted to follow all of the rules. And he spent a lot of time learning about these rules. Does anyone have you ever had to spend a lot of time learning about rules in school or at church? Yeah. And so Nicodemus came to see Jesus to ask him about all of these new rules that he had heard about. And Jesus told Nicodemus that the rules were good. Jesus said that the rules were not the most important thing that we needed to think about, though. Lots of things are happening that we cannot see. So Jesus asked Nicodemus if he could see the wind. We can't see the wind, but we know that it blows, right? We had some tornadoes earlier this week, and we definitely saw that we could feel the wind, but we couldn't see the wind, right? And so God sent Jesus into the world so that God could love them, and God hopes that we will love God. So I'm going to do a little activity, and each of us are going to be Nicodemus. We're going to go one at a time, and everyone is going to come up with something that we're going to ask Nicodemus if he can see. So who wants to be Nicodemus first? All right. So we're all going to say, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see? And then somebody can say something that they want to ask Nicodemus if he can see. All right? So I'll go first. I'll say, Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see the windows?
Yeah.
All right. Now let's try something harder. You want to go next? No? You want to go next?
Yeah.
Okay. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see the snow?
No.
No? Can you see it on the ground sometimes, though?
Yes.
All right. Nicodemus, you want to go next?
No.
Yes. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see the light bulb?
Yes.
Yes. Who wants to go next? You got it? Okay. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see music?
No.
No, but you can hear it, right? All right, one more. Who wants to go next? Go. You want to both go together?
Yeah.
Okay. Nicodemus, Nicodemus, can you see love? Can you feel love?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, let's all pray together. Dear God, thank you for all of the things that have made us happy this week, the things that we can see and the things that we can feel. We know that you came here to love us and to allow us to love other people. Please let us show everyone your love this week and bring us back safely next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. O God, you sent your Son into the world not to condemn it, but that it might be saved. Before you we stand in confession. Our misery and your mercy stand face to face. Give us your forgiveness and work through the wilderness of our hearts to hearts full of gratitude and joy. We pray this morning for the state of our world and for our leaders. May they lead with hearts of compassion, justice, and understanding as they govern over your creation. We ask for a quick end to affliction and violence. We pray that those who have experienced great loss or who feel unsafe may find comfort in your presence and sanctuary and community during this unsettling time. We pray for those in our local community who feel bound by the effects of illness, oppression, and hunger, and we pray for the Spirit to be at work in their lives. May we be emboldened by that same Spirit to work for your kingdom to reign among us. We pray for your church. Give us the courage to act as the body of Christ as we work towards unity and strive for justice. May we be faithful disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. During this season of Lent, we ask that we might rid ourselves of the things that prevent us from life abundant. Grant us now the gift of your Spirit that we continue our Lenten practices, we renew our relationship with you toward an inner springtime of the heart. We pray these things in the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My name is Sarah Walker, and the three of us are from Hendricks College, which is a United Methodist affiliated college in Conway, Arkansas. And there we have an active United Methodist group on campus. We have chapel every Sunday night, and we have communion every Wednesday. It kind of looks like a normal church, but on campus. We've got small groups that meet throughout the week. We have a group called the Bonhoeffer House that's an intentional Christian community that lives and studies together on campus to grow in their faith. And it's through Hendricks, and right now our chaplain is J.J. Whitney, and we're all trying to grow to be more spiritual leaders in the United Methodist Church. And this weekend we had a retreat on campus, and we got to take part in prayer and song and learning about poverty and stuff around Conway area. And now today we have different groups at probably 10 different churches throughout Little Rock this morning. But it's through your support and money that we were actually able to attend Hendricks, because through the apportionment money that the United Methodist Church gives to Methodist-based schools, we get scholarships to study at Hendricks. And so we just want to say how incredibly grateful we are for that and your support and for allowing us to be here this morning and share time with you. Now please join me in the offertory prayer. God of unwavering love, you have held nothing back in your love for us, not even your Son. How we marvel at that kind of love, and how we long to reflect a portion of that devotion back to you. As we dedicate our offerings to you, lead us away from our tendency to hold back and worry that there will be not enough. Help us to live as the people of love and abundance you have called us to be. In Christ we pray, amen.
Please remain standing for the hymn of meditation, Take Time to Be Holy, on page 395.
Scripture lesson for this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after growing old? Can one enter a second time in the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm going to guess that as I was reading this passage, a particular verse caught your ear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who may believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16, arguably the most popular and frequently recited verse in the Bible. In one statement, we get a glimpse at the real power of Christianity, the power in the message. It is the reason the church was able to spread as well as it did, and it's the reason we gather together now, every Sunday. But another reason this verse has become so iconic is that it speaks to a common, deep need. It has a promise of love and acceptance. This verse has always resonated with those experiencing some form of suffering or pain. And if you look around the world today, there is no shortage of suffering or pain or unhappiness, of hate, longing, and of dissatisfaction. A dissatisfaction that manifests itself throughout our society, from the small, petty grievances we air on social media, to the daily grind of careers that don't necessarily fulfill us, to the election of our 45th president. That's why it's so strange that Jesus says this verse during a conversation with a man who, by all accounts, has achieved all one could ever aspire to. Nicodemus does not strike us as someone who is dissatisfied with his life or angry at the world. He is a member of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee. He is a Jewish man who occupies a position of great social clout in the Roman Empire, a prominent member of the educated upper-class elite. By all measures of the world around him, he is a resounding success story. He is the last kind of person we expect to seek the gospel of Christ. And yet, Nicodemus is drawn to Jesus. It's important to note that Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, a detail I'm sure the writer of John does not want us to miss. We can tell that Nicodemus doesn't want to publicly admit that he is curious about this man. It's understandable why. Jesus is not a popular figure with the dominant religious forces of his time, particularly the Sanhedrin. For Nicodemus to declare to his peers that he is interested in Jesus' growing movement would mean risking his prestige, his respect, and ultimately his livelihood. By waiting until night, he takes little risk in anyone finding out that he's interested in the itinerant preacher who can reportedly perform miracles. Exactly why, then, would Nicodemus want to follow up with Jesus? Perhaps something is missing from his life. Now, personally, I see myself mirrored more in people like Nicodemus than the destitute outcasts or the poor fishermen that Jesus finds elsewhere in the Gospels. I may not have that kind of clout or authority, but I am reasonably happy. I fit into my community very comfortably. Someone could take a look at my life story and find very little, if anything, to complain about. Like Nicodemus, there doesn't appear to be a whole lot of room for Jesus' message. And I suspect the same could be said of several of you here today. But what we come to realize in reading this passage and the rest of the Gospel of John is that Jesus is not only here for the outcast or the suffering. He is also here for people like Nicodemus. In the chapter that precedes the scripture for today, the author says that when Jesus was in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. Now, that certainly would sound extraordinary and perhaps mystifying to a Pharisee, so it doesn't really surprise me that Nicodemus begins the conversation by addressing this. Surely only someone from God could perform these signs. Indeed, Jesus assures him that he comes from heaven above, from God. But then Nicodemus asks a very peculiar question. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? The writer of John is notoriously fond of metaphors. Many times in this gospel, Jesus is referred to as the living word of God, the Lamb of God, the light unto the world. There's also a bit of irony going on right here, because the Greek word that's translated from above can also mean anew. So perhaps Nicodemus is confused because he's getting the word wrong. Or perhaps he is legitimately wondering how someone can truly be born again. This is indeed the offer Jesus has for him, to be reborn into God's grace, acceptance, and love. Jesus says that no one may enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. Here he's referring to baptism, the ritual during which we are cleansed anew and receive new birth. Now, the act of baptism itself may be symbolic as we practice it, but the promise of baptism and Jesus' message is a very real kind of transformation. And that transformation is the point of this conversation. Jesus tells Nicodemus that the Son of Man indeed has come to the world, not that it would be condemned, but that it would be saved. He is the light that rescues us from darkness, a darkness that has consumed our lives and made us weary. Even those of us who don't claim to be suffering or in pain, who don't claim to be in need, know how much life weighs us down. We are all beset by unhappiness, dissatisfaction, and longing. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whomever believes in him may have eternal life. This is a new life, given freely by God through the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. And so Jesus gives it straight to Nicodemus. All he has heard is true. The Messiah has come to save the world from the darkness of sin and death. Now, to be honest, I worry a little bit about the pressure a lot of Christians feel concerning what this transformation is supposed to look like. I wondered for a long time if I felt it 7 years ago when I first went to Veritas. It's the biggest gathering of United Methodist youth every year here in Arkansas. I remember one night feeling a whole auditorium full of strong emotion and yearning, and it seemed like that was the big moment. That was the moment where I would officially accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, complete with tears and joyful singing. See, during Veritas, I and all the other youth there as well was separated temporarily from the worries of our everyday lives. We were riding a spiritual high, and it seemed to me like this was the only way I could be transformed and fall totally into the grace of God, as if this was the only way I could enter the kingdom of God and embrace the light of Jesus. But nowadays, I don't think that's true. I don't think that transformation of the heart and the soul has to be a public display of intense emotion. In fact, the story of Nicodemus tells us of another way that transformation may happen. This reading for today is the first of three instances where Nicodemus appears in the Gospel of John. The second occurs a few chapters later, when he advises his colleagues among the chief priests and Pharisees to hear and investigate the situation of Jesus more thoroughly before making a judgment or rushing after persecution. The third is toward the end of the gospel, when Nicodemus brings a personal donation of 100 pounds of aloe and myrrh to be used for anointing Jesus for burial following the crucifixion. Again, we are reminded of the power and means that Nicodemus has access to. These are costly materials. But running through the thread of Nicodemus's story is a quiet kind of transformation. When we first encounter him, he is asking questions and seeking answers. He's skeptical of the message Jesus brings, but curious enough to learn more about him. And after this conversation, we see him maybe taking a different side from his peers who condemn Jesus, and he suggests maybe another course of action, maybe waiting. He's not yet ready to publicly announce that he believes that Jesus is the Messiah, nor is he ready to directly oppose his peers. But he nevertheless tries to steer the discussion away from persecuting Jesus. And when we see him for the final time, he donates expensive materials to be used for a proper burial. This time, Nicodemus is outside, public, about his affirmation of the gospel, and he risks the social consequences of giving so much respect to an executed enemy of the Pharisees. Nicodemus was not instantly transformed by his conversation with Jesus. Instead, over time, he came to understand that Jesus was speaking truth. He was not yet ready to give up the benefits of his compliance with the rest of the Sanhedrin, but he was willing to deter them from unjust retribution. We don't read of Nicodemus going out into the street and proclaiming the good news in the way the disciples might have, but he nevertheless proves the change in his heart through his actions. Nicodemus comes to understand and experience the grace of God gradually. For John Wesley, this is one example of justifying grace, when God reaches out to a person with accepting and pardoning love. And in our own Book of Discipline, it says that the experience of justifying grace may be sudden and dramatic, or gradual and cumulative. It marks a new beginning, yet it is part of an ongoing process. Nicodemus received this grace, even though he was not totally convinced when he first heard of it. Friends, I encourage you not to pressure yourself into thinking that the only way to properly receive God's grace is by being an outcast or by suffering or by having committed the most egregious sins. Nor is it by having a sudden and dramatic conversion. Jesus came to save the whole world, to rescue everyone from darkness and bring us into the light, with no limits on what kind of person or by what means. That included Nicodemus, and it likewise includes us. God meets us right where we are, whatever our situation, and is ready to offer us the chance to be born anew, to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, repent of our sin, accept the freedom and power God has already given us, and put our whole trust in his grace. As we continue throughout this Lenten journey, remember that living out this vow does involve commitment, study, practice, and at times, self-denial. But in the promise of being born anew is affirming love, everlasting grace, and a life that is truly fulfilling. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. It's great to be with you. And would you join me in thanking our United Methodist Youth Fellowship Hendricks Scholars for leading in our services this morning? They did a tremendous job. And is that your first sermon?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. And we're so appreciative of everyone who's helped today. And we do want to let you know that during our coffee fellowship, we will be recognizing Mike DuPaul for all of his tremendous work and support and leading in worship for our celebration service. So we invite you there as we recognize him.
Receive this benediction. Friends, it was because God so loved the whole world that he came to us. Remember that the all-loving grace of God is always open to those who seek it, whomever you are and wherever you are. And as you go, brothers and sisters, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God ever hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.